Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Our guest today is Tamala Floyd. And I can say that it's not very often that I feel emotional after I've interviewed a guest and feel so moved within my own being that a big shift could happen even as a result of this interview. And I hope that after listening to all that Tamala brings to us today, she's so generous that you will feel that shift also. You will feel like, wow, I am ready for the next phase. I am ready to be healed. I am ready to get to know those exiled parts of myself and those parts of myself that are acting out, trying to protect the tenderness inside. And I'm ready to flip that script and free up the exiled parts and the protectors so that I can live the life of my dreams and use that energy to serve the world. So that's what I felt as I completed the interview with Tamala a few minutes ago. And just to kind of give you a little background about her, she is a psychotherapist and a consultant, an author, a speaker, someone who travels the world, both for her own pleasure, but also to find amazing retreat spots. And she has her master's of social work from University of Southern California, went to Cal State Long Beach, which many of you know, those are kind of my old stomping grounds for the 25 years that I lived in California. And, you know, her purpose is to help women identify and heal these wounds that are impeding their success in life, in relationships, in fulfilling life purpose. And I really got that feeling after talking to her, like, whoa, this is a powerhouse woman who is here on earth to help all of us heal. So I introduce you to Tamala, and I'm just so grateful to her. And I have to give a shout out to Beth Grossman, who is someone that brings authors to our show, the Yoga Therapy Hour, that Beth sees the connections between what her authors are doing and that there's some threads that connect the yoga journey and yoga therapy. So at the end of the show, I'll try to tie some of those threads together in our outro, but let's go meet Tamala. I think you're going to love this interview. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. I'm Amy Wheeler, your host. Are you needing to earn some continuing education units? Well, we have the exact thing for you. Every single Monday night, we have a Monday night clinic where we practice postures, breathing, and meditation towards a very specific theme of the month. And then we stay afterwards and we talk about the theory of why we chose what we did for that particular practice. We give you a completion certificate, which you can turn into your continuing education body. And we're growing all the time. We have a wonderful community. You can do this live with us online, or you can do it through a recording. Go to www.theoptimalstate.com and check out the Monday Night Clinic, and we would love to see you there. Welcome, Tamala. Thank you for being here today.
I'm very happy to be with you, Amy. Thank you.
Tamala, where are you joining us from today?
I am joining you from San Jose, Costa Rica.
Oh my goodness. So you're in Costa Rica, right?
I am, yes. Well, how do I want to say this? I am a nomad. I do not live in the U.S. any longer since 2022, and I find myself in Costa Rica for the last 6 months now.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I know that you're doing a retreat, which will already have happened by the time we air this. But
yes,
I just want you to talk about that retreat because we'll do some promotion at the end, too. But it also is a part of this story and this topic that we're going to talk about today. So just a little blip about the retreat, and then we can revisit it later in the podcast.
That's beautiful. So this retreat is for women who have experienced generational trauma, and it's a retreat where that they can connect to their generational line and their ancestors in which they received or this trauma was handed down, and get to know the ancestors on that line and release these traumas. And more importantly, I mean, of course, releasing the generational trauma is important, but also receiving the gifts and heirlooms from their generational lines too.
Wow. Beautiful. All right. Well, we'll talk more about that at the end, but
Absolutely.
all right. So let's start from the beginning. I just want to know a little bit about you. I mean, the work that you're doing, kind of at least in this book that we're talking about today, Listening When the Parts Speak, is your newest book. And by the way, your other books look fascinating, but why don't you tell us what it's about? You can say it more clearly
Absolutely.
than I can.
Yes. So the full title of the book is Listening When Parts Speak, A Practical Guide to Healing with Internal Family Systems Therapy and Ancestor Wisdom. So internal family systems therapy is a therapy that helps us understand that psychically we are not one mind, that we are made up of parts, and coming into relationship with the various parts of ourselves, especially those ones that are causing any type of havoc or upset in our lives, right? We also, the generational piece of that is some of what we are doing, the ways we think, the ways we behave, are not from our own life experiences. They're actually handed down from our generational lines. So that's where what I'm most interested in is that healing of the generational trauma and wounds.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, you're on the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast, so I'm going to tie that into yoga just a little bit. But
Yes.
in the indigenous ancient traditions of India, they say that we're very, very connected, not just to seven generations that came before us, but seven generations going forward. Like we will influence seven generations going forward. So that is exactly to your point why it's so important to heal these generational traumas.
Absolutely. I love that you talked about seven back and seven forward, because one of the things that we know when we do this healing work, the generational healing, that you're also healing those generations going forward. Like people are very connected to the fact that, oh, okay, that, it came from generations before me and I want to heal that. We're healing those that carried that same burden in those generations backwards and forward.
You know, I'm just jumping right in and slowing down
I
if
love
you need to. But
it.
I'm a very curious person, and I've met people who are doing this work, and I always wondered, do people ever feel like, well, why do I have to heal the seven back and the seven forward? Do they ever feel like, wow, this is a lot for one person to take all of that on?
Oh my goodness. Love that question. Actually, I don't get that. And I think the reason that I don't get that is because the model that I use, they're not the ones actually doing the healing. We invite in a well-healed, wise ancestor from the line that this burden was, inherited from to come in and do that healing, because there are also people on our generational lines who are healthy. And so they know how to release this burden. They also have awareness of the heirlooms of the line. So they also help bring those heirlooms for the person to embody and live and have access to.
And is that invited elder, if you will, is that usually someone that they know, like grandma or great grandma, or is it an imagined ancestral elder? I'm just curious.
Usually, it's not someone that they know, but it is someone that they're related to, because the ask when we do this work is who on this line is well enough to come in and release this burden and willing to do the work. So whoever that person is that shows up is who is the person who is going to release the burden. So in most cases, it's not grandma or great grandma or a relative that they actually knew or knew of. Some of them, you're just hearing the stories, right? You may not have known them personally, but usually it's someone further in the ancestral line. But it can be, it could be someone, but in most cases, it's someone further back.
So I want to let you lead this discussion. I'm jumping in with my curiosity, but should we talk about the ancestral lines and that work and then get into IFS, or do they
Okay.
weave together? Like, how do you want to frame this?
Yeah, they really do weave together because the ancestral work is a piece of the work. So let me just talk about the personal work and then we'll talk about the ancestral work.
Great, great.
So your personal work would be, say you had a part that was a people pleaser, or a part of you that was very critical, or a part of you that, holds a lot of anger. We'll hear people say that, that person is a doormat, or that person is a rager, they're angry all the time. Well, what we understand with IFS is that's not all of the person. They're not raging 24/7. They're not a people pleaser all the time, every day. So that's only a part of them. And that part of them may be costing them a lot as it in relationships and how they show up. So a person may show up to therapy saying, I really want to work on this people pleasing. And so I'm going to engage that part and find out. We call those parts protectors. And protectors are protecting a vulnerable part of ourselves, some part of us that got wounded. And so they took on that role, maybe people pleasing, because that's the way they protected that part of us that maybe felt not good enough. If I people please all the time, then I'm going to feel that good. I won't feel worthless. So that's the work that we would be doing with the individual. That came from their own lived experience of trauma. But then there's this trauma or behaviors that we may experience that have been handed down. So we have our personal burdens and we also have our generational burdens. I like to work with the generational burdens first. Because what we have found is that it can be easier to release what didn't belong to us in the first place, right? So, working with that trauma that's been handed down, releasing that, then I have more self-energy in order to work with my personal burdens. So, I know that was a lot of words. I'm going to let you ask questions. We can take it apart. But yeah.
So, first question I have, it's just very practical. I remember my mom had come home at some point and said, "Oh, I went to an IFS, internal family systems workshop this weekend." But she did it with a group. So, is the IFS work usually done individually, like with a therapist? You're an LCSW. Is it usually done individually, or can it also be done in a group?
Both.
Okay.
Someone may come to therapy, and the therapist is trained in internal family systems therapy, like myself, and that's the modality they would be using with you to work with whatever you came to therapy for. But again, there are workshops. I host workshops, I do retreats, but all of it is IFS based.
Okay. So, how does it work? I never asked my mom what happened that weekend, but like what I heard from her was that she was, I think, sitting in a chair and that she figured out these different parts of her and that the other people actually became those parts. So, there might be four or five other helpers in the group, and one was her angry part and one was her low self-esteem part, and that somehow she interacted with real humans that were speaking back to her in a very manifest way, not just in her own mind, so that she could see it outside of herself. Is that accurate? This was a long time ago, so I'm trying to remember.
You remembered perfectly. Yes. So that is one of the experiential exercises that we might do with someone because sometimes it's hard to get to know our parts inside, right? Because they're talking and doing what they're doing, and it might be really hard to hear them clearly and understand how they're trying to help us because ultimately that's what they're trying to do. But when we have someone portray our parts, we call it externalizing, taking our parts from inside to outside, and we'd instruct them. Your mother would have instructed that person how her angry part looks, what her angry part does, what it says, what the people pleaser does or says, or the anxious part. And then they role play that for her. And then she gets to ask those parts questions. So they're an interaction based on how your mother has instructed the person how her parts show up.
Earlier, you said those parts are protectors.
Oh, yes. So what happens as we are growing up, things happen in our childhood or, teenage years where we get hurt. And so because we don't yet have the resources to understand what's happening, parts of us get exiled. It's not okay for us to be this way. I'll use myself as an example. So in my family of origin, I grew up as a very sensitive little girl. I mean, I would cry easily. My mom raised her voice to call me, tears would flow. And so I got the moniker, cry baby, and you're so sensitive. Why do you cry? This isn't anything to cry about. So my young self, and I'm talking 5 or 6 years old, came to see that being sensitive, which I really didn't even understand what that word meant, was not okay. And so that sensitive part of me got exiled. In my case, what showed up instead was a people pleaser. Well, let me be what people want me to be since the way I am isn't okay. So we get these messages that however we show up in our genuine personality and self is not okay. And so we hide that. And then the protector, in my case, this protector was a people pleaser. And the people pleaser said that if I show up first, the sensitive part won't show up and it won't continue to get harmed. So that's our protector. So that something happened to us that made us feel like we need to hide that aspect of ourselves. And another part, it's not like the people pleaser was born. It's not like this part just came out of nowhere. It was another part of me that was already a part of my system because we are born with our parts. It took on the role of, okay, this is the way I will protect the sensitive part.
So this is mind-blowing because I feel like how does one even come to an understanding that they were hiding their sensitive part? I mean, I would guess that some of us are hiding those exiled parts from ourselves. So to even understand that process, to be able to externalize these parts and have conversations with them, first, there must be some really deep work to even find those exiled parts, I would imagine.
I think to some degree, we may have some knowledge of what's been exiled because when we get triggered or activated, what comes up is that exile part. Something happens and my sensitivity, but it would come out inconsolable because she's been hidden. So she hasn't been able to express her sensitivity in a natural way. So when she got triggered, I was just a mess, just a crying, bawling mess because she'd been hidden for so long. So, yes, they do come out.
All right, so we can find our exiled parts by looking at what comes out when we're triggered. But then how do we figure out who the protector of that exiled part was? Am I asking too many questions?
You are doing a fabulous job. You
Okay.
are not
I'm
asking too
just
many
so curious.
questions.
I love
And
this.
you're asking just right, thought-provoking questions, right? The protector is often what brings people into either therapy or a workshop or a retreat. Like they get curious about why am I exhausted doing this people-pleasing thing? Or, my partner is ethnic, which has happened with, I talk about something similar to this in the book. My partner's ready to leave me because my anger is so out of control. Or my drinking is so out of control that I'm going to lose my job. But these are all parts in their extreme behaviors. So often it comes to us because we're about to lose something, or a relationship is going to end, or we're just exhausted doing the thing that we're doing. And those often are the protectors, because the protectors are the ones that are doing all the hard work because they have to keep us that vulnerability protected. So that's how we often are aware of the parts. Often people don't come to therapy calling them parts. They're saying, if I come to work under the influence one more time, I'm going to lose my job. I can't lose my job. I need help. So they bring the problem in, and then I help them to discover that there are parts at work.
I'm just having this big aha moment. I wish I'd known you. And I mean, I've heard of this work, but I didn't ever feel like I wanted to explore it. But now that you're talking about it, I'm like, I remember when I got diagnosed with cancer a few years ago, one of my first responses was, oh, good, I get to rest and I get to tell people, no, I can't do that. Like, that's a weird response to cancer, I would think. And it's dawning on me right now that that was my protector was done.
Done.
Like, didn't know how to stop doing what she was doing, being the people pleaser, being the doormat, letting everyone walk all over her. But in that moment, she probably was like, good, we have an out. That's
Yes.
exactly how I felt, is that you have an out here,
Yeah.
girl.
Yeah. That makes so much sense. It's just amazing how parts use the body. And again, another chapter on in the book about how parts will use either a real illness that we actually have and exacerbate that illness because they want our attention in some way. Or they will create an illness that you go to the doctor and they can't find. They're like, you don't have any of the markers for what you're telling us is happening. That's because a part actually is activating that pain or disorientation, whatever it is that's happening in the body, in order to get our attention. So when you said that, I literally put my hand on my heart because I get it. Yes, that this part was so exhausted that she probably had tried many other ways to get your attention.
Oh, she had. I cannot
Exactly.
deny.
Yes. And so she's like, oh, great. I mean, and I hate to say this, but I'm using kind of your words of great, we have cancer. I get to sit down and rest. She will now have to tell people, no, I can't do it because there
And it
was no
was,
other way that you may have stopped.
I couldn't. I remember feeling like this was one of the only things people would understand. Because when you say, oh, I have cancer, then they're like, oh, okay. But
Right.
prior to that, with no excuse, and I put that in air quotes, I think I was having trouble setting the boundaries and setting, yes, I can do this. No, I can't do that.
Right.
Just whatever needed to be done, I was going to get it done.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, so we've figured out how to find our exiled parts.
Yes, and
They're
our
the ones that come up
protectors.
when we're very triggered. And then we figured
Yes.
out that our protectors are the ones that are exhausted, sick, and addicted.
Yes, all of it. Yes, absolutely. Even if the addiction is to anger or people pleasing or right, yes.
And this is part of your work too. You teach people how to do this for themselves. That's what this book is,
Yes,
right?
yes.
So
So,
tell us
as a
about that.
therapist of this model, I was seeing how much healing people were getting in my offices, and I also am a solo lead IFS trainer. So I also train therapists in this model. So I'm hearing all of these stories of how impactful this model is. And I was just like, okay, how do we get this to the general public, to the general consumer? Because I started my healing journey doing self-help. That's how I started. So I know self-help is powerful, right? So how do we get this model? I said, well, perhaps I'm the one to write the book. And so I want to tell a little story about this because this is the ancestral piece.
Beautiful.
So I was invited to create a meditation for Black Therapists Rock Legacy Burden and Heirloom Summit. This was their first one. They've done them annually now, but this was the first one. I said, sure. She's the founder, wanted me to do it on legacy burdens, so generational burdens. And I said, fantastic. Had no idea what I was going to do, but I had just recently started doing my own ancestral work. And so I just, said to the ancestors that I'm doing this. I don't know what this meditation will be, but it needs to be something around ancestral healing. They presented me with a meditation called Cabin. We ended up calling it Cabin with the Ancestors. And they gave me this meditation overnight where they took me through this guided meditation of working with your ancestors. And so then I just penned the meditation and presented it at that heirloom summit. And people were blown over by how deeply they were able to connect with an ancestor because of that meditation. The ancestors told me when they gave me that meditation, this meditation will be one of many in a book that will help people heal with IFS. So that's how this book came to be. And there are many meditations in there that help you both connect with healing and connect with your ancestors. So healing your parts and connecting with your ancestors.
So you don't have to answer my questions if you'd prefer not to, but Was it a dream? Was it a lucid dream? Was it like something was happening overnight and you woke up and you knew? Like, I'm so curious.
I would say probably more like a lucid dream because what I experienced, like the cabin with the ancestor, is a guided meditation where you go on this trip to this cabin and you meet your ancestor. And so I was the person moving through, meeting the ancestor, going in the forest, finding the cabin. So I was the character, which is very different from the way meditations have come to me before, other meditations that I've created. But I was actually the character in the meditation. And then they said to me, that's the meditation for the summit. What exactly what you experience in that dream, write it out as a meditation. And that's what I did. And that's how they gave me every meditation. There's about 9 out of the 12 that are in the book that they gave me. They took me literally through the experience. They're all guided meditations.
Whoa. My name is Amy Wheeler. I'm the host of the Yoga Therapy Hour, but also the creator of a mobile app that's based on the gunas of yoga and Ayurveda. It's the first of a kind, and we'd love for you to try it for free. The app is called The Optimal State, and it tracks the state of your gunas, and then it gives you therapeutic interventions. Now we're starting to add Dharma talks as well as Yoga Nidra. And we think these are wonderful ways that you can do some self-care and take care of yourself on a regular basis. So come join us, the Optimal State app. We'd love to see you over there too.
Yeah,
And
right.
is it the same ancestors each time you fall to sleep and have one of these meditative experiences while sleeping?
Yes, they are. There are three women, and they eventually called themselves my writing clan. So they also assisted me in the actual writing. And so I would see one or all three. Either one would come or all three of them would be present when they gave me the meditations and also when they helped with the book. And the interesting thing, too, is like when I would transcribe the meditation from experiencing it, they would be present and they would say things like, that's not quite the right word. Or, when you say that color, you call it this instead of that. Like say I said blue and they'd say, no, let's say it was a vibrant blue. So things like that, that they would help me as I was transcribing and actually writing the book itself. And these ancestors were on my mother's mother's line. That's who I dedicate the book to, the ancestors of my mother's mother's line.
And previous to you being asked to speak at this conference and give this meditation, you had never come into connection with these women. They were kind of
I
new.
had actually, because I had also just started doing my own ancestral healing work, working with an ancestral healing practitioner. I probably, at the point at which I did that, I probably was maybe 3 months into that work. So I had been connecting with the women on my mother's mother's line already, but I had not met these three women that were the writing clan. I had not met them yet.
Amazing.
Yeah, it
All right.
is.
So when we all go out and buy this book, are the meditations in a written form, or is there a way for us to, like, would we read it into our iPhones so that we would have our own voice talking to us? Or do you have a website with you reading us the meditations? How do we access?
Yes. So the book is available in book written form, but it's also an audio book. So it's at Audible, Kindle, all the various places that Spotify that you can get the audio version. And I am the narrator and actually gotten some really great feedback about narrating the book and the meditation. So you have that option. You also can do what you suggested. If you bought just the written book, you could also record it yourself. But there is an audio book with everything recorded if you want that version.
All right. So we're weaving back and forth between the
Yes.
ancestral trauma. One thing that you said that was amazing to me that I think most of us don't think about is these ancestral line gifts. Like we all think about, I need to heal the trauma of those who came before me and those who come after me, but tell us more about the gifts.
Yeah, so when working with people, and this is why it's so important to have a well ancestor on your line, because that well ancestor knows what the gifts are of your line. So, there may be a gift with written word. There may be a gift with using your hands. There may be a gift that you're just a bright light and you are supportive and compassionate and can guide others. So they will let you know what those gifts are. And this is the thing, when we are burdened, we don't have direct access to those gifts because we're living more from the burden than the gifts that the burden covers up.
Interesting. So it's almost like they are being clouded by the wound
I
and
love that.
see them.
Yes, absolutely. We have them, but no access to them because, again, like you're saying, they're covered by the womb, that's what's leading us.
Wow.
And with the wound healed, now those gifts can just come right in.
Is it almost always like a woman will find the gifts from her maternal line and a man from his line? Or could a woman
Great
find her gifts
question.
from her father's line?
I love that. So, when we're looking at the lines, we are looking at mother's mother, four lines, mother's mother, mother's father, father's father's line, and father's mother's line. You can get gifts from any of those lines as you're working with them. So, yes, a woman can absolutely get gifts from those two paternal lines, her mother's father's line and her father's father's line.
And then once we get in touch with these gifts, do we kind of make those the scaffolding of our life? Like, I imagine a lot of people, and I see this because I teach a business course where we ask people to harness their gifts and their natural talents. And almost unanimously, they cannot think of what their natural gifts and talents are, and they need an external source to reflect it back to them. So one of their exercises is go to your current students who love you and have them tell you what they like so much about your teaching. But it's hard for people to find that. Do you have anything for us about your tips?
Absolutely. When you were giving that example, the first thing that came to mind to me is what is blocking you from accessing your gifts? I want to work with the block because there's something, either it's the way I see myself or the way I think of myself, or there's something that is the block. So it's not that you don't know what your gifts are, can't access them, it's who's in the way because I see everything as parts. Everything is parts. So if you can't access something, what's in the way would be my question. And let's work with the block.
And then the gift or the beauty will just be there or emerge once the block. So then that takes us back to internal family systems. Like that block could be one of those protectors, or would the block be an exiled part?
The block is probably going to be one of those protectors.
Oh, interesting.
Because often the protector, like I said, it is protecting that exile part, but it also is the exile part not being healed also keeps us from our gifts. So both of them are keeping us from our gifts in some way.
I was going to say that, and I've seen this happen, that people somehow discover a gift they had no idea was even in there, and it emerges once they do some deep healing. And that's probably an exiled part that had this beautiful gift to share that finally came forward.
Once I did my own healing and really had access to this sensitive part, one of the feedbacks that I get over and over and over again is that your vulnerability allows us to be vulnerable. It invites other people to tap into their vulnerability. Like now in therapy, in a workshop, in a retreat, in trainings, if something touches me deeply, I'm going to cry. But now it doesn't hold that shame and that embarrassment of I'm weak and I should never let people see this or this isn't okay. It's like it moved me. And so the tears will flow. And so that is a gift because it also gives others permission to access whatever their vulnerabilities and softness is.
I was just noticing that I had this little giggle of joy when you said that, and I think it's because I took joy in the thought of that tender little girl getting to emerge now.
Yes, yes,
Joyful.
yes. And it is joyful. And what I've learned for my system anyway. It wasn't just an exile of the sensitivity, it was an exile of a lot of different emotions that are softer and kinder. And it also was an exile of a level of intuition, which once she was unburdened, and that's what we call it in IFS when a part releases whatever burdens it's holding. And in hers, it was a burden of worthlessness. Once she unburdened that, there is, I now have an access to all of her goodness. So all of the depth of emotion, intuition, the ways in which that now allows me to connect with people at an even deeper level. So all of those gifts come in once she's unburdened.
So what I'm hearing is it's almost like she was a whole person in and of herself. And in addition to the sensitive part that got exiled, there was the whole, the microcosm of the macrocosm. Like it sounds like
Yes.
she brought a bunch of other stuff you weren't even expecting.
Right. Absolutely. And I love that you called her a whole person. That's actually how I teach IFS to people. I said, get away from thinking about parts. They are parts, but I like to think of them as subpersonalities, full little humans or big humans, depending on the age they are inside, that have the full gamut. Like we might say this is the angry part, but that part that holds anger holds joy, holds excitement. It is a full person within. So I love that you use that, called her a person, a human, because they are. They're
Yeah.
little human parts within
Yeah. I mean, I'm
us.
picturing a little Tamala.
Yes,
Like,
exactly.
she's
Yes.
coming with all of it.
Yes. And often that's how we see them. Like I said, at 5, 6 years old is when she realized that, oh, it's not okay to show this. So when I connect with her, that's who she is. She's 5 or 6 year old Tamala. She's not an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us have done this. My 9-year-old is called Amelia. And, I talk to Amelia. I have conversations with her. I always have, not because I've been trained in IFS, but just because she is a whole human with her 9-year-old experiences.
Oh my goodness, you're just saying so many great things that are bringing up things for me to share. Is that that's why IFS isn't weird or odd. Often we've already been having conversations in one way or another with our parts. Think about when we need to make a decision, or in the old cartoons where you had the devil on the shoulder and the angel on the shoulder, these two parts of yourself are going back and forth, or we need to make a decision about something to stay in this relationship or leave it, to take this job that's going to take me away from all of my family support, but I'll make more money, or do I stay here where all the family support is, but I'll make less money? There are parts that have opinions about these decisions, right? So we already kind of operate that way. So this really isn't odd because this really is the way the human psyche is comprised.
It's making me wonder if we're constantly creating new parts also, because I'm thinking about a new job that I have and the almost like persona or the values that I'm bringing to it and how I want to show up. It's a new way of being for me. Am I developing a new part right now?
In IFS, we say that you're born with all of your parts.
Okay.
But as we get healthier, as new opportunities present themselves to us, different parts will come to the fore. Maybe you didn't need that part in the ways in which you were showing up, for family or in another job. But because another part comes to the fore, that you now have access to all
Right.
of the skills that this part has.
Which, by the way, she is very informed by her ancestors and
Yes,
connected.
I love that. Absolutely. And also with our own healing. One of the things that I noticed for myself, the more I did my own healing work, the more access I had to what we call self-led parts, parts that really have self-leadership and bring more goodness and opportunity into our system that we then can share with the world.
Yeah. So I always have to ask one hard question every episode.
Okay.
How does this fit in with something like DID or dissociative identity disorder? And I don't know enough. You're the
Yeah.
LCSW, so you tell me. But it seems to me like that might be that people know their parts so well and they can kind of compartmentalize into those different parts to the point where that part is even separated from the human right here, right now in front of you. So help me
Yeah.
understand that connection.
Yeah. So parts are definitely on a continuum. How protected our system is on a continuum. DID being at the far reaches of the continuum. This is a highly protected system. And what we know is the more protected or the more extreme the protection is of a system, the more trauma, the more extreme the trauma is. So if we have DID, we're really dealing with a person that has experienced some deep, extreme, painful trauma and typically ongoing trauma. So it's still parts, and the work is tedious and it's slow because instead of maybe having one or two protectors of an exile, and I've worked with cases like this, and I can think of one off the top of my head that I also often use as a case study where my client had 12, 13, 14 protectors of one exile. So it's going to take a long time, years, to do the work with that client.
Wow. And did they know the part that was exiled when they did this work and they started talking to each of the protectors? Did they
Yeah.
know what they were protecting and that exiled part? Did they know that up front or did that emerge over
It
years?
definitely emerged.
Oh.
Absolutely. Now, some do know, but this absolutely did have to emerge over years. Or what I'll say is there may be a part in the system that has awareness. All the parts may not know why they're protecting and what they're protecting, but there's someone, at least in the system that I'm talking of, the client I'm referring to now, that did know. But all of the 14 parts that were protecting that exile did not necessarily know what they were protecting. And often in these highly protected system, a protector is protecting another protector. You know, so they may not even all know that there's this exile, 14 layers deep.
Online,
Yeah, exactly.
okay, so I gotta stop. I'm way too curious, but could that exiled part be ancestral and have nothing to do with this life here and now?
Absolutely. Any of our parts can be ancestral. Our exiles and our protectors can be something that we inherited from the generations before us. Yes.
Wow, my mind
Yeah.
is blown.
Yeah. It is pretty mind-blowing. It's, yeah.
I mean, you'd have to buy into the subtlety of this, the mystery, the magic. To even approach this, you'd have to be an intuitive person willing to do this work. I'm imagining myself, because I've gone to tarot card readers, and I'm not comparing this to that, but I'm just saying
Yeah.
some astrologers and things, and even my deep psychological work with a therapist sometimes. In the moment, it feels so real. And then when I go away, then I'm like, did I just imagine that and make that up?
Yeah.
Do you have that come up? Because it's almost like we get to the heart of it and we know it to be true. And then our protector comes back and says,
That's right. Yes, that's what happens. The protector comes back. And I've had folks who maybe weren't really intuitive or hadn't done some of this spiritual work because the IFS is also very spiritual. It's actually referred to as a psycho-spiritual model and maybe not connected to that at all. But that doesn't change the fact that this is the way our psyche is comprised, right? So they still can do IFS work and I still can work with them and have without them having necessarily that connection to spirituality and such, yeah.
And I love what I just discovered, that the protector will come back.
That's right.
I can imagine it almost feels too close to the heart of the issue. So we kind of have to like create space and back up and be like, oh, that wasn't real. Nope. We
Right,
said
right.
nothing was seen here.
Yes.
Go back
The
to your ways.
other, exactly, just go back to life as it was before that session. The other thing about IFS is that another reason a protector is going to come back in is protectors will not stop protecting until the one they protect is healed. until that exile is unburdened. So until we get to the level of unburdening, and this is why I love IFS so much, because what I found in the work that I was doing, and my area of expertise is women with childhood sexual abuse, physical abuse, and domestic violence. So that's what who I work with. And so what I found is that many of the models that I was working with before basically worked with the protectors. You know, I mean, I didn't have that language then, but you know, I'm working with all the behaviors and the thoughts and the, but I'm not getting to the one that was harmed. IFS gets to true healing because those protectors, I'm not going to stop people pleasing, raging, using alcohol as long as that exile is still wounded and hidden. So there's steps, there's a protocol to healing and having that one release its burdens. And that is what will allow the protector now to take on a new role. If I don't have to protect Tamla's sensitive part with people pleasing, I get to do something else. I actually get to do what I was born to do in the system. I wasn't born to be a protector of an exile.
So the protector could turn into a magnificent part of us that's willing to be seen and heard and express and make a
Yes,
difference in the world.
absolutely. And they get to choose. I mean, there's a question in the protocol where we ask a protector, what would you rather be doing? If you didn't have to protect this wounded one, what would you rather be doing? And they will tell us. They will tell us. Some are tired, so weary that they just want to rest. I just want to go
I
on a
think mine would
beach
say
and
that.
say, exactly. I was thinking of you when I.
Mine would be like a beach in Costa Rica
That's
for two
right.
months.
Yes, absolutely. And whatever they want to do, they can. They can rest. They can become an advisor, which often they do choose to become some type of advisor within the system. But the beauty is they are no longer doing what they're doing impulsively. The people pleaser can't stop. Like that was what you said. I couldn't say no. I had to do this. Yeah. So now they get to choose. I could say yes to this person and say no to that project. Now I get to choose. It's not automatic.
Or unconscious.
Unconscious. Yes, absolutely.
Tamala, thank you so much for being so generous
You're
today.
so welcome. This was a pleasure. I love talking about this, and I totally enjoyed your questions because it just
Oh,
deepened
thank you.
us at each step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let us pull up your current website, which I think you
Okay.
had told me that it will in the next few months transition into a different beautiful website, but
Yes.
I'm impressed with this one, so I can't wait to see the
Awesome.
next one. Will it still be TamalaFloyd.com,
It will.
TamalaFloyd.com? Okay.
Yes.
So what would you like to point us to? I was, struck by the about page and just learning all about you, but how about some of the services that you offer?
Well, that's part of what's changing. So, because I'm really shifting from psychotherapists, which I'll always be a psychotherapist, that's my training, and I'll always draw on that training, but I'm shifting to speaker, author, retreat and workshop leader because as a psychotherapist, I work with folks one-on-one and I really want to work with groups. I want to get this healing information out to as many people as possible in the most efficient ways, and doing group things do that.
All right. So I just clicked on speaker on your website, and
Yes.
first thing I see is a speaking topic that you might offer. My adult daughter won't talk to me. I can tell you
Yes.
how many people are in this situation right now, either as the daughter or the parent that I'm speaking.
Absolutely.
The next
Yeah.
one is the impact of mothering styles on daughters. Oh my gosh,
Yes.
I want to hear that one. And then a third one, are you a wounded mother?
Yes. It's
Wow,
interesting that this is all connected too. I know we didn't talk about this, but because this is on my website, this is all connected to an audiobook that comes out May 6th called Healing the Wounded Mother. So, yeah, so it's another release from Hay House. It's an audio only. And I'm talking about this topic is really important because there's so much information out there about the impact of the wounded mother, how the children, adult children, have been impacted by her, but not a lot about healing her wounds. Because if the wounding of children are coming from the mother's wound, then we need to work with healing her so that those relationships can be healthier and healed.
And if a woman's mother has passed already, can that work still be done, or is it only for the mother?
So the audio is only for the mother, but the healing, because I've also worked with the daughters that have been impacted, right? The healing using IFS can absolutely work with a woman whose mother has passed on, even though they had a difficult relationship. And this audio also uses the tools of internal family systems and the mother working through her pains. Yeah.
All right, one last question.
Yes.
You told me that you're going to have some retreats in Morocco next year.
Yes, I am. So some of the things coming up is I'm doing a workshop June 23rd to June 27th of this year of 2025 at Esalen in California. And then I will be hosting a retreat. One of the things I decided I want to combine is my travel life with retreating. So as I travel, I'll find locations along the way and host retreats. So the Morocco retreat is in September 3rd to September 9th of 2025. So that information is also on the website.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You're creating the life of your dreams as you help other people create the life of their dreams.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. I'm going to steal that. Never said it that
Don't have to quote me. I got
way.
it from you.
That is beautiful. But exactly, that's exactly it. My two loves are helping people and travel. And so this allows me to combine the two together.
Well, I just feel grateful to have met you. I'm going to buy these books and audiobooks. This is the first time I've really felt like, oh, now I really want to know about IFS.
Yeah, good,
Well,
good.
you've lit a fire.
Yes, that's my goal, really. I want to set the world on fire about IFS and the depth of healing that one can attain through IFS. Yeah.
Wow, thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure to meet you, and I wish you well on your travels and all the wonderful offerings that you're offering to the world. So I'm sure they will be successful.
Thank you, Amy. I enjoyed my time with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tamala Floyd, for being with us today and for healing yourself so that you can bring this work forward to the world. And you've also modeled it for us. You've showed us what is possible and how a woman, especially, can kind of show up as a powerhouse in the world, even if we've had ancestral trauma, even if we've had trauma in this lifetime, that it is possible to heal and to move into our fullest potential and be the person that we were born to be. So that we can be of service. And in talking to you at the end of the show off air, you had said, I'm going to use up every little bit of the wounding that happened and use that as a positive force in the world now that it is healed. And I think that really is very connected to exactly what we are trying to help people do on the journey of yoga therapy, is to turn our senses inward, to quiet our mind. To allow what we call the vasana, the kind of residual imprints that have been maybe unconscious to us and causing us to have certain behaviors, certain patterns, certain ways of being in the world that don't serve us and that hide us from our light, that internal light we talk so much about in yoga. So I see many, many parallels between this IFS work, the ancestral work. And the work of yoga therapy, we do it differently. We do it from an embodied place where we're feeling and sensing in the body, oftentimes with the help of a psychotherapist or a social worker additionally. And I would say in yoga therapy, we're really focused on helping people to understand their own nervous systems, the patterns of their mind, and learning how to regulate themselves so that they could even do this type of work that Tamala is showing us. So I think, yoga therapy could be a beautiful complement to this work of IFS and ancestral healing. And I think that's how we work best when we have kind of a licensed healthcare practitioner who is doing their work, and then we come in and help with nervous system regulation and looking at our own patterns of our own mind and learning to feel safe within ourselves. So thank you, Tamala, for being here today. We're so grateful for you, and have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you to our guests today. And if you've ever thought about being on the podcast, we would love for you to come and tell your story. This podcast is not just for the famous people or the people who've written a book. This podcast is for everyday people like me and you to tell our stories of health and healing and beyond as yoga therapy, and Ayurveda has helped us. So please feel free to contact me if you have a story you'd like to tell on the podcast about your journey. There would be nothing more pleasant and pleasurable than getting to interview you and have you on the podcast. Don't be shy. You can do it. We're waiting for you to call. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good, be good, and have a great week.